Welcome to We Love No Other, a podcast about all things Illini. I am Robert from IlliniBoard.com, and my guest today, very special guest, is Athletic Director Mike Thomas. Mike, thank you so much for joining.
No problem. Glad to do it, and I appreciate the opportunity.
So obviously, the first thing everybody's going to want to talk about is the rebrand. First thing everybody right. wants to hear about. Maybe take us back through the process here. I know there were a lot of questions of why does this take so long and can't they just design new uniforms in a few months? Maybe let's go back through the process of when you came on and you're seeing the need for it and kind of how that process developed.
Well, upon my arrival here, it was quite apparent to me that though we had solid marks, there wasn't a consistent look. I mean, certainly marks, logos, in a brand that had served the University of Illinois well in the past, Fighting Illini Athletics, but also very clear that from a marks standpoint, there wasn't consistency amongst our department, amongst our programs, amongst our teams, and even when you look at our color. As it relates to, there's a lot of oranges, there's a lot of blues.
Right.
And someone had mentioned to me, actually, just yesterday when I was up in Chicago, someone had mentioned to me, when they were honored this past basketball season out on the floor with their family, they said, we walked out there and I think we were wearing 8 different shades of orange. So,
right.
That was very apparent. And I think if you want to have a brand and you want to develop equity over time, that you've got to have something that works, but it's got to be consistent amongst the ranks. And so really about 2 years ago, we had reached out to Nike. Nike goes through a rebranding process with a limited number of schools every year. It's generally about 3 to 4 schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd asked them about the opportunity. And certainly they were on board. They were excited about it as well. But obviously we're in a queue. And so they work with, as I said, a couple schools a year. And the first opportunity that we had, to work with them
mm-hmm.
was really that process to start 18 months ago, which it did in a formal way. And as you know, this week was the final outcome of that 18-month process. So why did it take so long? Well, it really, it's not just about us. It's about Nike and when it fits into what they've got going on and the other schools that they work with. And they have a limited size staff that really dedicates themselves to these types of things. So we knew that we would unveil it in the spring of 2014 with the first opportunity for our teams and for us to have those new marks, but really for our teams to walk it on the floor of the field the first time with these new looks would be the fall of 2014.
Mm-hmm. So how often was your staff in contact with Nike? Is this a big back-and-forth thing? Have they... the new font, they send 3 options and then there's comments back. And how much of that is a back and forth and how much of it is Nike's the experts and they present to you, here's our designs?
Oh, no, it's a give and take. There's some back and forth. And as you could imagine, Robert, there's more of that early on in the process. But Nike, did an awesome job as it relates to what they presented us with this initially. And certainly, as we've talked about, and was very apparent when the marks were unveiled this past week, it was about respecting the past, but also representing the future. Okay, so where was that blend? Where was that mix? We knew very early on in the process that we had a lot of equity with our block eye, and so probably at most we'd be looking at a few minor tweaks to our block eye. The block eye has some equity. I don't think the block eye will ever be dated. And so we want to continue to develop the brand with the block eye as our primary mark. I think it was the other pieces where, there was some give and take. And so there was some back and forth. And sure, that's why we engage Nike. They are experts. They have a lot of experience in this area, not just in the college ranks, but in the professional leagues as well. And they really have a good feel for what 17 and 18-year-old kids want. So we did pay attention to what they were saying, but no, they were very open to hearing feedback that we had whenever we were presented with something. And certainly, as you know, the fonts, and you look at our numbering systems now and our lettering systems and how that all played out and how our colors are used and what are the colors that will now be our PMS colors that we use for everything, not just our uniforms, but the signage in our facilities, our letterhead, our marketing materials, you name it. And so we've got to have consistency there as well. I think one of the things that we are getting a lot of positive play is the victory badge, Robert. So, you know, that was really something when they got into this and they did a lot of research. They were on our campus a couple of times and they were over in the library. They were in the community. They were paying attention. And so when you get into Red Grange and kind of the superheroes of the past, looking for the superheroes of the future, that's where that came about, and tying in Red Grange, but tying in, you know, the Memorial Stadium, the columns, and how that badge was going to be designed and what the final product was going to look like. So I think they did an awesome job there, and we were really excited about it. So that was really the thing I think that people would say, hey, that's the most unique thing, the most kind of outside-the-box thing that came out as a result of this process. So, no, there was some give and take, and as you can imagine, early on in the process, you were having more discussions with them, and then as you eventually fine-tuned where you were going to be, there was certainly less back and forth between us and the folks at Nike.
So you say the word mark there a lot, and I know that in a business sense, in a marketing sense. Maybe talk a little bit about why that is important. Like why you use the word mark a lot, and why that, you know, this distinguishable thing is important for a university.
Well, I think when you talk about your brand and you talk about marks and you talk about logos, they're all intertwined. And you know, for us to update our logos and our brand, when you know, for us, you really to be in the 21st century. Okay, it was important to us to modernize our brand and our vision. All right. It was important to have a visual identity with the brand that included a significant Illinois story. We wanted to develop, as I said earlier, consistency with our logos, our team uniforms, and our marketing materials, okay, signage we have in our facilities, and, you know, define and clarifying our brand and the use of our logos. So I think, you know, I think it's a perception. It's what people are paying attention to, and you want to, you know, it shouldn't be like a floating pieces of paper. There really needs to be, it needs to be solid. It needs to be a foundation for your program, and it's what your look's all about. And for us, once again, you know, it's we've got to, it's important that we're paying attention, not just to our current student athletes and our coaches and our prospective student athletes, but also our alums and those people that pay attention to our programs and those people on campus that obviously have a vested interest, because we have a lot of constituents at the University of Illinois. So something that really made sense for all, and that's why this was an all-hands-on-deck process, Robert, and a lot of people were paying attention or were engaged and involved in the process the last 18 months. So, but, you know, for our coaches and our student-athletes, certainly, you know, you want to engage that tradition of our athletic programs. It's got to be a modern style that appeals to our student-athletes. And certainly, you know, the continued development of the latest technology in the performance materials. So, you know, we're excited about it. And I think when you think of national brands, or, you know, whether it's a sports team or whether it's something you're buying over at the Meijer or the Kroger, I mean, some things have more of a national brand that you identify with than others. But I think consistency and thinking something being very solid is important to us, and something that will continue to grow in the future.
I've been reading a lot of fan reactions to that, and it's mostly been positive, especially the football uniforms. I think they've been universally accepted as outstanding, and I think that's, you know, the focus, the helmets and the colors and that white uniform and everything else. I think it's been you know, really highly praised. On the flip side, some people, I would say, have the reaction that they don't get it. They don't understand why this is important. You know, it's the old just win games, that's all I care about kind of thing. So I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, there's the, you know, as an athletic director, I'm sure you understand that there's the fan understanding of just hire the right coaches, recruit the right players, win the games, that's it. We don't care about stadiums. We don't care about uniforms or anything else. It's just coach, recruit, game, that's it. How do you think something like this plays into success of a program?
Well, I think winning is primary. I don't think that these are mutually exclusive things. And absolutely, winning and graduating our kids and getting in the community and doing things the right way, I think those are all primary things. Certainly winning is right there at the top of the list. But these things all play into winning. And as it relates to the infrastructure of your overall program and your individual sports. So you can pick the sport, and no different than what we're doing right now. You know, we finish a strategic plan, but at the end of the day, when you look at our units and you look at our teams, it's really an audit of where we are and where we want to be. And does that include staffing? It sure does. Does it include facilities? Does it include their budgets, right? Does it include the things that we just went through on the branding? Where are we coming up short, and where can we do better? And certainly a lot of people are going to have opinions, whether it's about the overall program or individual programs, as to where they think we're coming up short, you know, or the checklist of the things we do right and the things that we could do better. I think we all get that. But as it relates to, you know, the infrastructure of our programs and our overall program, I think to say that you have a brand that people are paying attention to. So if this is important and this helps you, whether it's raising money, whether it's the marketing of your programs, whether it's the recruiting of student athletes, I think people would tell you that recruiting of student athletes is important if to get high-level student athletes to win for our 19 sports. I can tell you, Tim Beckman told me, I saw him yesterday because we went up to Chicago, that his phone blew up after our launch Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. He had over 100 hits, okay? And he said over half of those went on his Twitter was from prospective student athletes. So I think that they are paying attention. We know we have prospective student athletes that watched the thing, but when it was streamed. So they do pay attention to these types of things. And I'm very familiar with that in my 29 years of doing it. This is an important part for a lot of people that pay attention to our programs, including prospective student athletes and current student athletes. So I think it's a standalone thing that's going to help you win games by itself? No, absolutely not. But I think it's an important part of your program, not just your single sports, but your overall program and development of that program? Yes, I do.
We'll switch gears a little bit, and I want to talk about something that's kind of a pet issue for me, in that population in the state. So you mentioned there that donors are important, that, you know, involvement from people in the community is important. I have always claimed Illinois to be this sleeping giant based upon the fact that there are more people in the state of Illinois than there are in any other Big Ten state, more than Pennsylvania, more than Ohio, more than Michigan, and, you know, the state universities of those three states have been highly successful, especially in football. Talk to me about how that's an advantage for Illinois to have almost 13 million people in the state with no, you know, there's one private institution somewhere in the state we don't need to talk about, but there's, you know, all this population, this base that could be tapped into that maybe hasn't ever been truly tapped into like it is in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan. So let's talk about that. Talk about the population of the state, how that's important.
Well, I think in all ways, and certainly including some of the things we've already talked about this morning, Robert, it's extremely important. I talk all the time, including publicly, about two things that you need that are critical to having a successful athletic program, the two C's, commitment and capacity. Commitment, okay, well, myself and our administration over at the DIA and our student athletes and coaches, I don't think there's any doubt that we're committed. We wake up every day, it's part of our DNA, and if we're not committed, then, for example, some of us probably need to find a different line of work. I don't think that's an issue. I don't think that's a concern. We are committed. Really, for us, it's about the commitment from those people above us that allow us the opportunities and don't short-circuit opportunities, but say, hey, we're on board. You have a great plan. We get your vision. We need to graduate our kids. We need to do the right things in the community, but we also need to win games. And then you can go back as I said, Robert, to our audits of our programs, and this is where we're coming up short. But you got to have people that are allowing you to do the things that you need to do to be successful. That's the commitment piece. On the capacity piece, which is really ties into the question that you've asked, okay, about the sleeping giant, you also need to have capacity, because if you have commitment but you don't have the means to get to where you want to go, okay, then it's going to be an uphill battle. I think we have the capacity, as you look at the ranks of the people in the state of Illinois, and you look at our total alumni base, a lot of those people across the country that are paying attention to our program and to the DIA, that we have a capacity with numbers, all right, to make a difference. Are we where we want to be? Absolutely not. Can we get there? I believe, I'm confident that we will. And one of the reasons why is we are nowhere near our ceiling, okay? We have a lot of room to grow, and we're fortunate that we have the capacity to do that, even within the state of Illinois. And so whether it's recruiting student-athletes, whether it's, you know, raising money, whether it's selling tickets, whether it's selling the new apparel, we have great capacity there. And so, you know, I'll give you an example. We've got, even when you look, we all know the size of our alumni base, and I've talked a lot about development and fundraising. One of the things that we'll have a major push is with our annual fund on the scholarship side. And, you know, as I say, and I talk with groups about, you know, the number of donors that we have. You know, Robert, we have about 7,200 donors. Minnesota has over 10,000. Iowa has over 12,000. Wisconsin has over 15,000. Well, you and I both know we don't like to look up to the schools and the standings. You pick the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we shouldn't be content with looking up to them as we benchmark ourselves against our Big Ten peers when it comes to raising dollars, the annual fund that covers our scholarships for our student athletes. So, but the great thing is we have the capacity, we have the numbers, we have the people out there that hopefully can help us move the needle in that particular area. But I think it applies to a number of other areas as well.
I actually had a chance to chat with Rick Darnell recently about that very thing for a post I'm working on for next week. And I'll play devil's advocate for a second, which is something I'm going to do in that post, which is, many people will react to the fact that we have low numbers of donors and such, and the fact that we don't maybe even meet the scholarship need with the donations, with, you know, and such, that it's a representation of where the programs have been the last 7-8 years, where they kind of slipped to, the main programs obviously being football and basketball, where they slipped to at the end of before you took over. So is that a tricky thing? Is that a difficult sell? Is it, you know, when you win, you get tons of donors, and when you don't? And how is that bridge gapped in that, you know, maybe some people wait until there's wins to, you know, join that that movement?
Well, and that does happen, Robert, and that's a great question. And you're right. I mean, our donor base as it relates to our I fund has been in a certain, you know, range, okay? And that hasn't changed a lot in the recent past, even prior to my arrival. And, you know, prior to my arrival, that started heading south, and there started to be a downward trend. I think last year we somewhat stabilized that, and now we're trying to turn the needle in the other direction. For example, last year, between last year and the year before, at least in the donor base, we had a 4% increase. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, maybe 4% doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about, you know, thousands of people, all right, 4%, at least it's a start. And generally what happens is if you go to a Final Four, if you go to a Rose Bowl or something, you will see an uptick in your numbers. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, just like you will see generally an uptick in the applications to your school in general. Okay, so you'll see that uptick, but then often, you know, it's I don't want to say, you know, it's like the one-hit wonder. You know, you've got to sustain it. But I think at the end of the day, what you want to do is establish a foundation, whether it's your attendance at your football games, whether it's your donor base, that you want to have success and you want to have a solid base, and then you can weather those types of bad years, or years that don't meet our expectations, but hopefully those are few or far between, and we're not having a lot of those experiences, because that's not something that myself, the coach, the student athletes, or those people that are paying attention to our programs want to see. So I do think it's possible. I will tell you this, at the University of Cincinnati, we basically tripled our donor base from the time that I arrived there and when I left 6 years later. We basically tripled our donor base. We increased our fundraising. A lot of it had to do with the numbers, but it also had to do with the different giving levels, which we've came out with those in the last month or so. And that's where it made a difference. And did we have some success? Sure, we had some success. But we were able to sustain it, not just on the football side. I mean, it was a difficult Cincinnati. I remember when I arrived there, the basketball program wasn't great. And we hired a coach, and now they've got a pretty good program. So some of these things were done without, you know, all the stars aligning and all the teams achieving at the highest level. Mm-hmm. So I think it can be done. I do. And I think once we get there, you know, we need to do a good job on our campus and within our department and programs to make sure that our people feel good about what we're doing, but also know that for the iFund, really those funds aren't about buildings, bricks and mortars, or coaches' salaries, or operating budgets. It's really about the scholarship fund that's paying for these student-athletes to go to school. And as you know, when tuition goes up every year, our scholarship bill goes up every year.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me about, and this is another kind of pet thing for me, I grew up in the metro east of St. Louis. I grew up on the Illinois side, on the correct side of the river. And I have always felt that that's kind of an untapped resource, that there are 700,000 people in Madison and St. Clair County, right bordering St. Louis on the Illinois side, the majority of which are Illini fans. And to me, that's our second largest base of fans. Chicago is obviously first, second, and third, but the Metro East is there. It seems there's been a little more reach out to the Metro East, some football camps there. There's been, you know, caravan events going down to St. Louis. How important is the St. Louis area, specifically the Metro East, as a base of donors and fans and ticket sales and everything else?
Well, Robert, I think it's extremely important. And you know, if you had all the resources in the world and the biggest staff in the world, and you could do all the things you wanted to do, you know, we would spread ourselves to as many places as possible. And certainly right there at the top of the list with Chicago. And, you know, a lot of our coaches, they it's almost running, you know, from Indy up to Chicago over to St. Louis. And a lot of them even talk about that six-hour window as mm-hmm. it relates to drive time for recruiting. And now for us, certainly our base for a lot of things we do is that same footprint, including the St. Louis area. And so we've got to pay attention to it, and hopefully we can continue to grow that. We need to continue to grow in Chicago. That doesn't mean that we're less interested in not paying attention to Central Illinois, because that's very, very important to us.
Right.
But I think it is. I don't think that you know, by paying attention to Chicago more or trying to do the things we need to do up there or in St. Louis means that we're paying attention less to some other area. And they're all important to us. We need to do the right things there to engage those people that are paying attention to our programs, not just for selling tickets and raising money, but also from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah. Okay, last question. Let's talk about something fun, the renovations for I almost said Assembly Hall, but I'm going to say State Farm Center, are underway. A lot has been torn up. I was parking over there for the spring football game, and the front is barely recognizable where the main entry used to be. So let's talk about that, how the progress is. I know there were some things said about times that there won't be the ability to have home games, sometimes with the construction schedule in November. So let's talk about that, how the progress is going, and then is there, you know, is there any restriction on when games can be played the next few years while the renovations are going on?
Well, the progress up to this point has been, you know, we're on schedule. There hasn't been any significant hiccups. The contractors, the people that are over there every day, were actually over there this last men's basketball season and women's basketball season. They were over there. You know, starting in November. So, matter of fact, there were times they were working on game day. They would ask come in my office and say, hey, can we work, over the course while they're over there playing basketball, whether it's men or women. And I said, that's fine. I just can't have a malfunction with utilities or power.
Right.
And so anyway, they're over there. Hats off to our contractors and the people on campus that overseeing that project, including Tom Michael in the DIA. But now we're into really the heavier lifting, Robert, because it's off season. So, you know, our last game was March 4th against Michigan. We had to be out by March 6th, and they've really been going at it pretty good over there. And really what's happening, because I know our fans ask the question, well, tell us what's going on over there. We see a lot of dust flying. We see a lot of movement. Well, really what they're doing when you work inside out is the mechanical on the inside, which is really kind of laying the tracks for the eventual air conditioning of the facility, which mm-hmm. you can imagine a facility of that size and magnitude to now air condition it, which it will, which is going to be awesome. So we can program 12 months a year. That takes a lot of mechanical work. So that's going on over there. Not something people would see when they walk in the doors next year for the first basketball game. The other thing, two things that are happening on both the east and west entrances, eventually there's going to be major entrances on that side that are going to go a significant distance from where the entrances are now on both the east and west side. The plan is by next November that we have those shelled out. Mm-hmm. They'll be shelled out. Mm-hmm. It won't be a finished product on the inside, but they will be shelled out. And then the final thing is in Section C, the new blue seats will be in. Mm-hmm. And I think you've probably seen that they're actually, similar to what they did at Memorial Stadium, they're actually selling in pairs the gray seats that have been taken out of the building. So those are the three things that would be most significant. Where, when you talk about the timeline, we're in good shape. But I will tell you this, March of next year, of 2015, is when it will get interesting, because that's when we really demolish the lower bowl. And, you know, it wouldn't be unlikely that we would have three shifts over there 7 days a week doing the things that they need to do. So the next year, we're good to go, because that's going to be the most intense part of the project. And so when people show up in November, December of 2015, the building is going to really have a significantly different look than it does today, or will it for the 2014-15 men's and women's basketball season. So that is when we're going to get into some conflicts or some scheduling issues, really in the month of November. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking into those things right now as alternatives. We know, we've known that that's the case, that we might have to do those types of things. As you know, right now, we do play some games outside our facility, but those are really December games. You know, the Bragging Rights game, which is an awesome game. We do play a game up in the United Center in Chicago every year. So we do those kind of things anyway. But we're going to have to just do a little bit more of that as part of our regular scheduling process, most likely for the month of November in what would be 2015.
Okay. And then there's still a little more process till everything's complete in 2016. Is that correct? Like the majority of renovations are before 2015, but then there's still cosmetic and other things the next summer. Is that correct?
Well, there sure is. There's a lot of work that's going to go on. It's not just in the immediate bowl area. The concourse on the outside facility, you know, that glass is getting pushed out, and we'll still have the spaceship look, but the glass will be pushed out, and that's about 15 feet. So that's where we expand the width of our concourses, and we're really doing some cool things up there. For our programs, we're going to have ceiling-to-floor displays for all of our programs. It's going to talk about the history of our program. So there's going to be a real feel of not just basketball, which will be prominent, but of our other programs and the history of the school. We're adding a lot of restrooms and concessions up there on that level. As you know, from a restroom standpoint, people have to go down a level
mm-hmm.
If they're in this. So that will change, and that's a real positive. So there's a lot that's going on, and the amenities will be tremendous for those people coming to the games. And regardless of what they choose as an opportunity, whether it's a premium opportunity or not, so we're pretty excited about it. And that's the most important facility initiative we've got going on right now. But it certainly isn't the only one. We've got a lot of other projects that would be of less magnitude. Even going on right now, and we're doing two studies. We're doing a master plan that is supposed to be complete this August on our Olympic sports, and we're also doing a study for Memorial Stadium that will be starting here very soon. It's supposed to be completed in August as well, just some of the things we want to do there, really more from a fan standpoint, but also to help develop the infrastructure for our football program.
Okay. Well, listen, Mr. Thomas, I appreciate you doing this. I appreciate you sitting down with me and going through all this and taking the time. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
Robert, anytime. I'm always happy to do it, and you just reach out to me when you want to do it again. But you have a great day, and thanks for all you do for the Fighting Illini.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Right, have a great day.
Okay, I've got to put a little tag on the end of this one. I just went back and listened to the recording, and I'm going to add this, and then we'll be done. I had some recording issues, so I had to amplify some of the sound to make sure you could hear his responses to my questions. And in doing that, I didn't realize I would be amplifying all of the noise that was recorded by the microphone. So yes, that was me in the background, my chance to interview the athletic director. And in the background of the podcast, where I interview the athletic director, is me breathing like Darth Vader. Part of me thinks it's funny and that it's great and this and that, and part of me is horrified. Like, I'm going back and amplifying all the sound, and it's so annoying. I apologize. I will get it straightened out. I will figure out. I will use this little mute button. I will get that figured out. But it's so me that the time I get to interview the athletic director from the university is the time that I have some audio issues. So I apologize for that, but I hope you enjoyed the content. I enjoyed talking to him. I'm going to do it again. It's great that he makes himself this available. So I just had to add that to the end. You've reached the end of this. We love your letter. Thank you, and go Illini.